Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Skeena Resources. Traded on the TSX under the symbol SKE. Same symbol on the NYSE, that is SKE. We are chatting with the president and CEO, Walter Coles. Now, Walter, we're going to focus on a news release that was released just yesterday, March 30th. It's a pretty interesting transaction with a couple moving parts. Simply, the news says Skeena announces acquisition of QuestX Gold and Copper Limited and concurrent sale of QuestX assets to Newmont Corporation. Now, that means that some of these assets going over to Newmont, Skeena is keeping some of the assets that QuestX held. Can you take us through, simplify this transaction for us, please?
Sure. We announced a takeover of QuestX, and the valuation for the takeover on QuestX is $48.6 million Canadian dollars. Concurrently, we're selling what we view as non-core properties to Newmont for $27 million of cash, and we use that cash to pay for part of the takeover. Basically, the cash component of the takeover, we're using the funding from Newmont to do that, and then we own 14% of QuestX already. So that means out of the balance we're paying in stock, and that amounts to $15 million. So kind of to summarize, the right way to think about this is, you know, taking over a company and then trying to sell off some of the parts to reduce the cost of the takeover and keep the parts that are most valuable to Skeena.
Well, you also mentioned to us before we started recording that while the dilution to actual Skeena shareholders is very small to pick up this district scale land package, I think it's just a little over 1.5% dilution. You also said there's another property involved in the mix that actually could be monetized to take that down to near nil. So maybe you could address that part too.
Yeah, we didn't mention that in the press release, but QuestX also held 6,000 or 7,000 hectares over in the Tutagon region, over near Benchmark, Thesis, and Freeport's there, ATAC's there. It's a pretty hot area. People looking for gold and copper. It's, again, non-core to us. You know, you look at the market cap of Benchmark, I think it's 180, like 85 million. Thesis got $110 million market cap. I think those guys probably each have maybe 10 to 12,000 hectares. This is maybe 6 or 7,000 hectares, you know, in the right area. I mentioned Freeport is earning on the ground just to the south of us. They got to spend $110 million to earn 70%. So, you know, in my mind, you know, we'll probably have some sort of auction and see what kind of price we can get for it. But, I mean, just sticking my finger in the wind, I seem to think we could get at least 10 to 20 million for it, which would negate all of the cost of this entire transaction that has given us an additional 75,000 hectares of prime land in the Golden Triangle.
So that additional land in the Golden Triangle has increased Skeena's resource land package by approximately 7 times. Let's talk about those assets that you are going to be holding under Skeena, KSP, and the Kingpin properties. Can you share with us the proximity, any of the relationship that you might see with the current holdings of Skeena being SK Creek and SNIP?
Yeah, this additional 75,000 hectares is right in between our two projects that you mentioned, SNIP and SK. So it's definitely proximal. It's, you know, as you said, it gives us district scale land package. In fact, I think it makes us the fourth biggest landholder in the Golden Triangle after Newmont, Teck, and Newcrest. So it really gives us a very, you know, dominant position there. And look, they're not making any more ground in the Golden Triangle. You know, as this ground disappears, especially as it goes into the likes of Newmont or Newcrest, it's never coming out again. So we saw the opportunity to increase our land holdings, and we grabbed it.
That makes a lot of sense, Walt. Now, on these two newer properties that you're looking at, the KSP and the Kingpin, I know it's still very early days. Do you think you'll be getting on the ground to maybe do some soil work or fly some surveys or do some early stage exploration on it this year? Or is it more of just a strategic land grab while the getting was good?
It was a strategic land grab while the getting was good, first and foremost. Secondarily, I did have our exploration team review KSP and Kingpin, and they came back to me and said, you know, very prospective ground for mineral deposits. And their recommendation to me was, do not let this slip by us. So we did our best to get a hold of it.
Okay. So you have built this land package now with these two other properties, but the focus still very much is on Eske. We've talked a lot and covered a lot of the recent news, especially with Paul Geddes, company's vice president of exploration and resource development. Give us more of the corporate level strategy then to continue to move and de-risk the Eske Creek project.
Yeah. So next up is hopefully a permitting charter document that lays out the schedule for permitting Eske. And the latest guidance I got was to expect that in April before the feasibility study, which is expected in May. And the reason it's important that we get that completed before the feasibility study is because that permitting schedule drives the timeline to production, which drives the financial model in the feasibility study. So just to recap, permitting schedule should be unveiled in April, and then we should have the feasibility study out in May. As we look to the rest of the summer, it's going to be the summer of exploration at Eske. We'll have, you know, 7 or 8 drill rigs turning, really starting in April, and we're planning to drill 60,000 meters. If we get some exciting results along the way, we could always extend that and, you know, maybe drill 70 or 80,000 meters. But we like to try to say that further drilling is results dependent. I just went through all of the prospective drill holes with Paul and Adrian Newton 2 days ago, and looks pretty exciting. I think our best hope of adding ounces is right around the pit. You know, in fact, there's some gaps, you know, in the material that's deemed to be waste rock. And so we're going to drill out all those gaps. We're going to drill around the edges. We're going to do some step outs, and it's a lot of holes. And I suspect that we will have some success, and we will demonstrate that we can continue to grow the size of the resource and reserves at Eske. The other thing that's more of a Hail Mary is we're going to drill some deep holes and try to see if we can figure out, you know, what happened to the contact mudstone at depth. Did it get faulted off? You know, does it continue somehow? Look, that's a much higher risk endeavor, but also a pretty high reward if we're able to find contact mudstone with 1 or 2 ounces per ton over, you know, 20, 30 or 40 meters.
Well, Walt, I know that your exploration team is always on the go and looking to grow the resources. And I know you challenged them to go out and find more just over the last year or so. It's been great results, but you want to keep growing the deposit bigger. But with this feasibility study coming out in May and with such a large drill program, is there a point where you feel you've gotten the deposit big enough to where it would have the attention of some of the major companies? I mean, you now have a great land package. You've already got a fantastic resource. How much more drilling and how much larger do you want to get this project to where you think it's either at the point to make a construction decision or to maybe look at having some strategic stakeholders come into the discussion?
Well, it's already big enough to you know, have interest from lots of companies around the world. I think the only two companies in the precious metal space that have told us it's not big enough are Newmont and Barrick, but pretty much everybody else is knocking at the door. With regards to, you know, why continue drilling, the answer is pretty simple. It's like the drill bit is how you create value out of nothing. So if we keep finding gold and silver, it'll keep accruing to the share price. So it's sort of like we're running on two tracks here. One track is to try to get in production as quickly as we can to start generating cash flow. And so that requires us to finish a feasibility, get through the permitting, you know, and that takes a couple of years. And then the other side of it is keep growing the size of the resource, because the bigger it gets, the more valuable the company will be. It's pretty simple and amazing. I mean, it's, you know, I don't feel like we get the kind of like ROI on the spending that we do on environmental work or permitting work, but you go drill a really good drill hole and you see it right away in the stock price and the market cap of the company. So if we can drill good holes and demonstrate an ability to increase the size of the resource, it'll get straight to the value of the company.
Walt, can you elaborate a little bit more on that environmental and permitting work that you're undergoing? I understand that you will be coming out with some, I guess, guidance more so on how the permitting will go when or for mining. But in terms of the environmental and permitting work, give us some insights on all the work that you guys are doing.
Yeah, it's pretty extensive. I mean, BC is no pushover on the regulatory side. I mean, you have to have a very thorough understanding of the hydrology, and that requires a lot of time and study by our own team and supplemented with environmental consultants. And then it has to all be put into summarized reports for regulators as part of the permitting process. There's also a lot of focus on, you know, is there potential for acid rock drainage? How would we, if so, how do we mitigate that? I mean, the list goes on extensively. And Corey, I'd actually suggest that we get Justin Himmelwright, our vice president of sustainability and permitting, on with you. And he can give it sort of tutorial to your whole audience on, you know, how the permitting works in BC.
Hey, absolutely. Happy to have Justin on. I'll reach out to the rest of your team to get Justin set up for a call. Let's also talk about financings too, because another news release that came out, I believe it was just last week, announced that Skeena had just brought in a little over $30 million Canadian from warrant exercises. Where does the company stand cash-wise, and what is the general budget for this year with all the drilling and the other de-risking work?
I think cash in the treasury right now is about $58 million. I suspect that we'll spend in the balance of the year probably right around $60 million. If we do more drilling than we're expecting right now, it could get up to, you know, $70 or $75 million. But, you know, we're pretty well cashed up for the balance of the year. If necessary, we'll do a $10 or $15 million flow through deal to, supplement any kind of gap, but there's no real urgency. I think the next step after the feasibility study is frankly to, you know, head down the road for project financing and raise the money or get the commitments on the money to build SK.
Okay. Well, Walt, I think that kind of covers this news. It's a very interesting deal. I will post a link to that news release for this acquisition of the Questex gold and copper assets, and then that concurrent sale to Newmont. If anybody has any follow-up questions on that deal or any of the plans that Walt laid out here throughout this year, feel free to email me, fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We will get Walt to address those. And Walt, thank you for your time. I'll also be reaching out to Justin to get some more information on the environmental and permitting work. But in the meantime, as more news comes out, I will be following up with the team to keep everybody up to date. So, Walter, thank you again for your time. Have a great rest of your week.